Welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I am your host, Dorothy, joined monthly by my co-host, Samantha, and I invite you to join us as we hunt down cryptids, explore the paranormal, and dive into lore from around the globe. So sit back and relax as I lead you on a weekly adventure of this strange and creepy world that we call home. Coiba. Coiba? Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. We're recording. I'm doing a little test because last time I didn't have my microphone up all the way and my editor wants to murder me. I still don't think this is working. Ba-dum-bum. Silence. Let's just turn these up all the way. I am so sorry for the people that are going to be listening to me for this episode. Okay, so welcome to episode 2 of Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I am your host, Dorothy. So, before we get off on where we are in the world today and things like that, I just want to say thank you for coming back, if you did. And I like to listen to podcasts sometimes. I'm doing a podcast, but, you know, only sometimes I like to listen to them. But the ultimate goal is actually to be an author that gets paid. So a professional one that I can make a living. A modest one. A modest living. Not a modest author. So I'm listening to this podcast called Author Like a Boss. And it is very, very good. I recommend it if you are interested in writing a book or doing any type of creative anything, just because a lot of what they talk about and a lot of their guest hosts talk about things that are relevant not only to writing, but also can be turned into relevance to podcasting or any type of creative outlet. And I actually wanted to talk about this one episode 5, which I really, really liked. The guest on there was Russell Nolte. Now, I've never read any of his books, but he's pretty good. He has a pretty good comic book, or a couple comic books out. He runs Wannabe Press, and it was really nice just like listening to him. He also did a podcast, and I'm saying a lot of ums, don't worry, those will probably be edited out, hopefully. So round of applause to my editor. He had to deal with me, but also the microphone looks like it's working, so there is that. Oh, it's going into the red. I don't know if that's good. I'm going to do something. Oh no. Turn it down a little bit. We put 90. We're gonna put the at 90. Yeah, I think that'll work. Okay, it's no longer going in the red. Whew. Technology. Ugh. but yes, Author Like a Boss, guest host Russell Nolte. He was just saying something that, you know, I already knew. But it was just nice to hear someone who is a successful individual say this. And he was like, y'all suck. You're all gonna suck when you first do your first book, your first podcast, your first few things. And the only way to get better at that is just to do it. Because you just don't go out there, like all those successful authors and podcasters and things like that aren't just like one day they turn on the mic and they're perfect. It's, you know, practice and practice and practice and practice. So if you're still with me and if you bear with me, hopefully I get better over time. That's my goal. And I already feel like this is going to be better than the last one and so forth. So that is that. Something else that I've heard about, which I read and see everywhere, is definitely when it comes to creative outlets, the only way to get better at it is just to do it. So with writing, the only way to get better at writing is just to write. The only way to get better at podcasting is just podcast, and so forth. That being said, We are going to get into where in the world are we today? So we are in Panama. And I picked Panama just because, first of all, it's cool. Panama's cool. I've never been, but it looks cool. I was watching, what was it? Primal Survival. Or List. No. Primal Survival. Primer? Primer? Primer Survival. No. Primal Survivor. That was what I was watching. And they mentioned something about the Darien Gap. The main host on there was going through the Darien Gap, and he was talking to some of the indigenous peoples, Kuna people, and they mentioned supernatural. So I said, okay, put that in my mind and remember it because I'm going to use that for my podcast. Panama. For those who don't know, it is in Central America. It's a narrow strip of land that connects North America to South America. Before becoming the first colony or first Spanish colony on the Pacific, it was home and is still home to many indigenous tribes, including, and I apologize, I could not find pronunciations of these, but the Guaymi, the Kuna, and the Chaco. Panama is said to be, and I quote from the Britannica, "the doors to the seas and the key to the universe," which I really like. I quoted that from Britannica.com. I'm actually going to get into a couple of things on this podcast. I'm going to get into the Cayabá Island. I'm going to talk about the Panama Creature. And of course, I'm going to talk about Darien Gap, which was the thing that made me look into Panama a little bit more. I do want to say that I was like, really had to dive into trying to find certain things for about Panama. Wiki, of course, was really good. I got, I think, four different wiki pages. And then I found one that said list of reportedly haunted places. And I was like, I'm saving that. Also, I did find a destination truth. Going forward, you'll learn how I feel about destination truth. And those shows, they suck you in. They really do. I'm not happy about it. Let's go ahead and get into it. So I actually want to start with the Panama Creature. So a little background on the Panama Creature. It was also referred to as the Panama Monster, the Panama ET, the Cerro Azul Monster, the Blue Stream Monster, or the Blue Hill Horror. The Panama Creature was found in 2009, and it was reported to be found and then killed. And there were pictures taken, and there were theories into it. There were 4 to 5 teenagers that were playing near a cave when they first said that the creature just emerged, and they were so scared. And they feared for their safety, and they just threw rocks and sticks and basically killed it. Then, one boy's story actually changed, and they said that they were playing in a river when the creature attacked them. And by attack them, they meant it grabbed one of the kids' legs, and then they hauled it out of the water and killed it. From the pictures taken, if you can look up these pictures, go ahead. They're weird. Theories include a hairless sloth, an alien, or a new creature unknown to science, which I would think would be an alien. Or I mean, they're in the jungle. Lots of new creatures are found and discovered in the jungle, so I think that's what they were talking about. I don't know why alien couldn't be put into that category. These teenagers were between 14 and 15, and the biopsy that happened a few days later actually concluded that it was, in fact, a dead decomposing sloth. So a lot of people were saying, well, why was it hairless? And the kid said that it was alive. And so if we go into their story, they said that it actually grabbed one of the kids when they were in the river. And this can be explained that, you know, this sloth died
it fell into the river, so it decomposed differently. It was more of an underwater decomposition. Scientists concluded that because it was starting to decompose underwater, that's how it lost its hair. And that the river current probably shifted it to where its clawed hand just kind of touched one of the kid's leg and they freaked out and then, you know, quote unquote, killed it. Panama creature concluded to actually be a dead decomposing sloth. So that is one mystery solved. So let's go ahead and get into the Darien Gap. If anyone doesn't know what the Darien Gap is, and I apologize if I am saying that incorrectly, it's considered one of the most dangerous places on Earth. It is a overland route from Panama to Colombia. The non-supernatural threats include gorillas, not the animal, bandits, and cocaine traffickers. Now, the locals, indigenous people, also speak of supernatural dangers. The local and indigenous people do paint their faces with red ocote juice, so the spirits will know that they are not hostile and will treat the jungle with respect. I almost said forest there. It's a jungle. There's a difference. Many jungle tribes will also use the Jaigua plant to paint their babies blue when they are around 3 weeks old, and it only lasts for a couple weeks, and it's to protect them from curses. But also on a practical note, it does protect them from insect bites also. Some of the supernatural lore that the local indigenous people talk about include the Madre de Agua, which is a monster that lives under whirlpools. So when any passerbys go into the whirlpool or near the whirlpool, this female creature will grab them and then drown them. We also have the Aribda, which is a monster with a hook-shaped hand that tears out its victims' hearts. And the Truviva, which is an old witch who has a... I remember this one. Okay. Truviva, which is an old witch who has a face so ugly that she wears her hair hanging down in front of her. Like the girl from The Grudge. But unlike the girl from The Grudge, she also has one single sagging breast. So, you know, like, one's up there and the other one's just, like, super saggy. She steals children. And when the fathers come after the children to save them, she then sprays the rock with breast milk from her sagging breast. I'm not going to get into why all the monsters are female in origin. I don't even want to get into that. But all of them were, except for the other lore that is by the Kuna tribe about a flying creature called the Bachu, which is a flying dragon with the head of a jaguar. They live in the hills, and that's why the Kuna tribes don't sleep out in the open, because the Bachu will fly down and take them to the hills and then eat them. And that's all I have on the Darien Gap and the Panama creature. The most information, it was pretty hard to find information about a lot of these things, but the most information I could find was about Caioba Island. Now we're leaving the main strip of Panama and going off into a couple of the islands that are surrounding Panama, which are still part of Panama. But we have the Caioba Island. So in 1560, the island was conquered by the Spanish, and they turned the indigenous population, the Caioba people's tribe, into slaves, which is what people do. In 1919, yes, we went ahead very, very far. It's a little time travel right there. There was a penal colony that was built on the island by the Spanish. Quoted from Wikipedia, it had a reputation of brutal conditions, extreme tortures, executions, and political murder. So this island was only used as a prison, and it was avoided by the locals. Claims upward to around 300 people being killed there, and it was closed in 2004. So it was opened in 1919 and closed in 2004, which means that there are ex-guards, ex-employees, ex-prisoners that are still alive today. And those people are actually talked to in Destination Truth, and I will get into that a little bit later. But at its peak, it housed upward to 3,000 prisoners in 30 camps along the island. Now, the island has been turned into a reserve, a national park, and is one of the last places to see the wild scarlet macaw found in large numbers. Now, it is said to be haunted by ghosts, prisoners, guards, and there are tales from former prisoners and employees. There is one such tale about a guard that was chasing a prisoner, and then he caught up to him and then realized that, hey, this prisoner is a ghost. And the guard was so scared that he accidentally shot himself. Now, through my sources, two said that he shot himself in the head on purpose, and two said that he accidentally shot himself, and then one said that he accidentally shot himself in the head. So I'm just going to go with he accidentally shot himself. I don't know where. I think it was the head, but in the interview in Destination Truth, he just said he shot himself. So actually, I would just go with that. One prisoner that was there actually made a super daring escape to get away from the ghost within the prisons. And this Kaiba Island penal colony prison was basically considered the Alcatraz of Panama. So it's an island. And to get from the island to the mainland, you have to take a boat. And it has to be, it's of course through shark infested waters. Also, you have to escape from a jungle prison where there are venomous snakes, all sorts of other wildlife, plus the guards, plus the sharks. This prisoner really didn't like ghosts. And he was like, I will take the sharks over the ghosts, so goodbye. And they actually find this guy, he's still alive, in Destination Truth, and talk to him about it. There are also tales of apparitions and screams echoing throughout the prison. Rusty door cells open and close. There are footsteps. One of the ghosts there is a former guard, and he slides his nightstick across the bars at night, making that clanging sound. When I was looking this up, I was able to find a article that mentioned Destination Truth. And I was like, yes, I'm gonna find it! It took me 30 minutes to be able to find this Destination Truth episode. It was season 4, I think episode 10. But I finally found it on dailymotion.com. And it's fun to watch. But, I mean, they automatically started talking about shark-infested waters. So keep that in mind. And in the beginning, you know, they went to a bazaar. The main person just started picking these old-world potions up and making jokes about them. He handed the millionaire one, like, become successful to one of his team members. And he was like, thanks? It cuts to the main individual running up to a local vendor that shaves ice for, like, ice treats, I don't know. And he just, like, leans down in front of him as the guy's shaving ice, like, basically onto his head. And he's like, yeah, it's so hot here, thank you so much. And the guy was just like, ha ha ha, funny tourist. And then they left, and it just looked like he was just like, bro, you're not gonna pay me for that? Like, I'm on TV now. So I don't know what that was about. And then he goes back to the bazaar and he tries on, like, oversized glasses, and so it's like a little bit of that, and their team members just kind of look like, oh man, he's going through the same things he always does, just gotta deal with it, I guess. And then they go ahead and meet up with some people that were on the prison, or were in the prison, or went on to the island. They meet up with a 4-time famous boxer Roberto Duran, who used to train on the Kaiba Island. They talked about how ex-prisoners would talk about footsteps, lights, and noises. And the main character, or the main host of Destination Truth, asked Roberto Duran if he would actually go there and stay the night. And he was like, absolutely not. There are ghosts there, and I would not stay the night there. Like, they're real. They're there. Do not disturb them.
Which, I mean, honestly, I feel like that is a good answer to most things.
Then they ended up talking to the former inmate that escaped the prison on a homemade raft just to get away from the ghost. There wasn't really anything that came of that. That was literally the blurb that happened. And the guy was kind of just like, yeah, what do you mean you're not afraid of ghosts? Like, they're ghosts. You should be kind of scared of them. And then he speaks to a man that used to work there. Now, this is where it becomes destination truth. So, there's always some sort of drama. There's always something. And I don't know why there's always something. It's because there has to be some sort of hook signed to, like, keep you in. Oh, but they couldn't drive all the way there because the roads got too muddy. And they had the choice to walk or apparently kayak around the Palencia area, and so they tried to kayak there. The tides pulled them into the ocean a little bit more than they wanted to, and then there was some drama with waves, and it capsized them, and they had to swim back to shore, and then they just hiked there. And just like, why didn't you just do that to begin with? This taking the most, like, dramatic route ever. I don't know. But they finally got to speak to the man that worked at the prison for 14 years. So he was a guard there. And apparently the translator didn't want to go with them. So they had a crew member that only had 2 years of Spanish try to translate for them. So that was fun. The guard talked about how the story about another guard that was chasing a prisoner that turned into a ghost and how he shot himself. So then it skips to the part where they go ahead and they go to the island and they plan on, you know, camping out there for the night. So they go ahead and take a helicopter to survey the island. And they just survey it. The weather is getting bad. Of course. So they're just like, oh, can we land? And the helicopter pilot was like, no, the weather's too bad to land. So they kind of just look at each other, the Destination Truth main individual and the co-host, and they were just like, oh, so our options are we just go back and then get a boat and then take the boat to the island, which I don't know why they just didn't do that to begin with, but they didn't. Or we can just go, he didn't say long route, he said that was the long route, he said we can do something. And basically what they do is they call the rest of their team members, tell them to grab a boat and meet them at the island, and then they freaking jump out of the helicopter into the shark-infested ocean. I was just like, what are these people doing? Like, this is what sucks you into Destination Truth and these type of shows. You're just like, why are they doing this? It's so dramatic. So that happened. There's always something. There's always something that you're just like, you make that, like, shock face. The Home Alone face. I was just like, what is, oh my god. So they jump out of the helicopter into the ocean. And the boat comes and grabs them and they go to shore. Now they're walking around all chill, like setting up camp, and they kind of split up. And one guy was just walking around in the forest, like, I'm sorry, the jungle, like it was no big deal. And then he was like, nope, because a huge ass boa constrictor just like was there. And it was like, and he was like, no way! And then remembered that, hey, he is in a jungle. There's animals everywhere. It's not some little hiking trail. You're in Central America. What did you expect? I know you're from LA, but seriously. So he ran back to the rest of the guys. And, you know, they split up. They go their separate ways. A lot of what was heard and recorded were just crashings, whispers, footsteps, clanging on the bars. So, of course, everyone's getting spooked, and at one point, something crashed, and they ran over into the room that the thing crashed in, and then they saw the water move a little bit, because we're in a jungle. The camps and the prison, they're falling apart. The jungle is retaking and reclaiming everything. So there's water, like a pool of water, and the water moved. They're like, oh my god, what is it? And then it moved again. They're just like, ah! And then a frog jumped out. So that happened. It was funny. I laughed hard. And then they see something in a camera that they set up in a graveyard. It was towards the forest. And the main character just, like, goes crashing through trying to find what he saw. And I'm just like, you're running through a jungle. I apologize, I did say forest earlier. You're running through a jungle at night that is spider infested. It is snake infested. Lordy knows what else is on that island that will just bite you and you will die. Or even just eat you. So he did that. He just ran off into the freaking jungle. And he was like, oh no, I'm off the trail. And the camera guy that was behind him, the guy that was holding the camera, was like, yeah, I think we should go back. It's like, yeah. Yeah, you should. You're literally chasing a shadow through the jungle. It's a shadow. And everything that you're hearing is most likely animals, because at night, everything sounds so much louder, and you're in a decomposing jungle taking over island at night with animals. Everything's going to sound like it's haunted. They go back, they get it analyzed, some people look at it and they say, hey, sure, maybe you got something on the EVP that sounded like a yes. Yeah, maybe this was an orb that you saw in the graveyard, but it could have been a spider. It most likely was a spider. They concluded on spider. So they really didn't get much out of this episode, I don't think. But also, it probably is haunted just because most former prisons are, because of the way people were treated there. That is kind of the major consensus, is that most ex-prisons or asylums or anything like that are haunted. And it makes sense. I think it's more of an emotional haunting instead of like actual haunting, but that's something different. That's really all I got. I was gonna just keep these solo episodes a little shorter. I know that people don't like to listen to one person talking for too long. I'm going to go ahead and cite my sources, so if you don't want to stick around for that, you don't have to, but I was on Britannica.com. I went to Wiki for like 4 different things. Mostlyghost.com, ghost2ghost.org, Destination Truth Wiki, by the way, season 4, episode 10 of Destination Truth. Then there is Parallel World Blog, WordPress.com, Walking Among the Supernatural Beasts of the Darien Gap. Then we are also on GetLostMagazine.com, feature The Curse of the Darien. DailyMotion.com. So, if you want to keep on listening to me, or if you want to comment, or if you want to just say hi, you can find us at Toadstools and Garlic Cloves on the Insta. If you wanted to say hi to me, you can find me at Trash Panda Kilgore on the Instagram. Or you can just send me an old school email at toadstoolsandgarliccloves@gmail.com. So that was episode 2. Episode 3, you're going to meet Sammy, my once a month co-host. And we will be talking about something pretty cool also. And that is all I got. I hope everyone is staying safe out there. I know that they're starting to let up on the quarantine a little bit. So just stay safe, stay smart, and have a great day. Bye!